A quorum for the Finance Committee, and my clock says it is the appointed time.
All right. So let's call the Finance Committee meeting number 5-22 to order. It's Thursday, September 8th, 2022, and it's 1 p.m. Mountain Time in Boise, noon in Pacific Time. The first item on the agenda is introductions and attendance. Do we just want to have Jennifer take attendance?
Yes, I'll just have Jennifer take the attendance of everybody who's here. I just do want to note that as far as Finance Committee members, you have yourself, Joanne Cole Hansen, Dean Stevenson, and Jeff Raybould. Looking to see if I missed anybody. And then other Water Board members on the call are Brian Olmsted and Pete Vandermeulen. And did I miss any other Water Board members? Okay.
All right, next on the agenda is the Regional Water Sustainability Criteria.
At this point, I'm going to turn it over to Neely Miller and have him walk through this.
That's all right. Can I get you to do me a favor before you head anywhere? Pull. Good.
Thank you, Mr. Patton. Good afternoon, Madam Chair, members of the committee and board. Today, I'll be giving you an update on the Regional Water Sustainability Crisis. As you'll recall, at the April 20th Finance Committee, staff presented the committee with a proposed criteria for regional water sustainability projects. The committee at that time chose to open a 30-day public comment period on that draft criteria with comments due on May 20th. Public comments were received and were discussed at early June board meeting. When the board adopted the aging infrastructure criteria, but no action was taken on that criteria in regards to the regional water sustainability criteria. Attached to this memo is an updated criteria prepared by staff for your consideration. And with that, I have shared this updated criteria to your screen. Really what this has done, this incorporates most of the comments. It's an updated draft with comments. It ties the criteria in that first paragraph to the sustainability section of the state water plan. That's something that's a direct update. Additionally, the eligible entities was updated based on comments. There were some significant changes, so I would encourage you to look at that. Particularly, I would say that it looks like counties and cities were removed from that, but there still are municipal irrigation districts and water districts, canal companies, drainage districts, irrigation boards, irrigation districts, groundwater districts, flood control districts, and what has also been included is a regional water supply organization. Criteria would apply statewide. This water projects priority list, what does it mean? It means that getting placed on the list is not a funding commitment, but rather a recognition that the project has the potential to help achieve water sustainability. Each project on the list is unique and will have its own implementation timeline and milestones. For projects that are placed on the list, the board may, one, help advocate for federal funding opportunities for these projects. Two, prioritize these projects for state funding consideration. Three, help with letters of support related to necessary funding and or permitting authorizations. Now, again, each project is going to be unique, but this is sort of a general list of three things the board is committed to doing if you get placed on this list. So then the next step is, what is the process for getting on the list? There's two ways to get added to the list. Eligible entities can submit a request to the board for a project to be added to the list, and that request would need to be received by December 1st of each year. The second way a project can be added to the list is the board has the discretion to add projects to the list on their own. The Board Finance Committee will consider these requests and make a recommendation to the board prior to that January board meeting where that list is updated. Entities would need to submit a package of information by that December 1st deadline. And we've included some of that information here. Cover letter with project summary, a project background, a project sponsor description, project, then the project description, the cost estimate and budget, the project funding sources, and the project implementation schedule. And, you know, of course, the final resolution and the more detail of this information, the higher likelihood that it will get on the list and the higher likelihood that it will move higher on that list. But these are the things that would need to be submitted in that request to get added to the list. Some of the considerations for list qualification and prioritization. The project helps achieve water sustainability. And again, earlier in this policy, it references the sustainability policy in the state water plan. A demonstration of regional benefits based on geographic area or a number of impacted individuals. Projects with multiple benefits would be prioritized. The relative economic benefit and public benefits, including consideration of public benefits, such as how the project protects existing water rights, provides water for future development, and three, addresses aging water storage and delivery infrastructure for projects to provide environmental safety and recreational benefits. Another consideration would be demonstration of projects stakeholder support or solutions help through collaborative processes. Another consideration is that it would provide or contributes to resolution of longstanding water supply challenges or anticipated water use conflicts. Leads to the stabilization of groundwater levels in basins where unsustainable declines are occurring. And then I think I mentioned earlier that project readiness would be a consideration as well. The last piece of this criteria is, so we've talked about what would be eligible to get on the list, how to get on the list. Well, how would a project be removed from the list? There's, staff has identified three ways that would occur. Project is fully funded and or implemented, so that project would no longer need to be on that list in terms of the board advocating and doing those things that are we've talked about earlier. Two, the sponsor of the project requests the project be removed. And three, the board at their discretion removes the project for whatever reason they decide.
The Mason Creek.
And so with that, those are sort of the major highlights in the updated criteria for water sustainability projects. And again, this would be how to get on that water projects priority list. And with that, I would stand for any questions from the committee.
Any questions for Neely? So Neely, I have a question. Okay, so where we went out for public comment back in April, we did that at the same time as the public comment for the aging infrastructure grant funds. Would it be prudent to go out for public comment again for another 30-day window to make sure that we've got all the comments, that we're not missing anything on this?
Madam Chair, I think that would be a great idea. I think getting that feedback before the board chooses to finalize this would be helpful to assure that you get it right. I think we have time to do that 30-day comment period, but we'll have to be poised to get that finalized right after that. But I think that would be a good idea.
Committee members, are there any comments regarding that?
I'm sorry, Joanne, I couldn't get off mute. I agree that we should have a second round of opportunity for the public to respond to this process.
Dean?
Joanne, this is Dean. I'm good with that too. I think if we made the changes and there's enough moving parts, I think I would agree with Jeff on that.
And Dale, I see you've joined us. Are you comfortable with that as well? Dale, you're on mute.
Okay. Yeah, I'm okay with that. I'm. It doesn't hurt to do that.
All right. Any other board members have any comments regarding another 30-day comment period on our sustainability priority list? Okay, hearing none, does one of the committee members want to make a motion to...
Yeah, Madam Chair, I move that we accept this priority list and that we put this out for a 30-day review, or maybe not exactly 30 days, but a time frame that allows for timely comments to be received and have that available for us to finalize.
All right.
I'll
second.
Second.
Thank you, Del. Been moved and seconded to put this out for another 30-day comment or approximate 30-day comment period. I think 30 days is on a weekend, which is the issue there. So all in favor, please say aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? All right. So we look forward to hearing back approximately October 10th. Is that when the comments would be due?
Is the 10th a Monday or a Tuesday?
Monday.
Well, so let's say the 10th.
I think the 10th is Columbus Day, so you might want to go to the 11th.
Yep, so go to the 11th.
The 11th. And I think last time we just had them send the comments directly to me at neely.miller@idwr.idaho.gov.
You okay with that again?
I'm fine with that as again.
Okay. So hopefully we can get that message out that we're accepting their public comments on this again through October 11th, and send your comments to Neely Miller at idwr.idaho.gov. All right. So is that it for the regional water sustainability criteria at this time?
Yes.
Madam Chair, Neely, this is Brian. We don't have a budget set for this program yet, do we?
No, Madam I don't. Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry, Madam Chair. That is correct. There is not a budget associated with this. Some of these projects have dedicated funding. Some of them would draw on different funding pots. Perhaps Mr. Patton may want to elaborate on that.
Sure, Madam Chair. Each of these projects is going to be a little bit unique. Some will be eligible for federal funding in some cases. Some may not. Certainly the state has appropriated some significant sums to the water board, and some of those funds could also potentially be used for some of the projects on the regional water sustainability list as well.
Thank you.
Okay, so the goal is to try and get the public comments, get the criteria finalized, accept applications, projects that might want to be considered for this list through December 1st, and then either the finance committee or the full board will meet to prioritize the projects in January. Is that correct?
Madam Chair, yes. Staff is proposing that we would have a finance committee to discuss those applications and prior to the January board meeting, but that sounds correct.
Excellent. All right, so moving on to the next item, the aging infrastructure funding recommendations.
All right, you're up. Thank you, Mr. Patton. Thank you, Madam Chair. As you'll recall, on June 7th, the board adopted the aging infrastructure grant criteria, which set out the application guidelines, the application due date for round one of August 5th, and the budget for round one of $12.5 million. You'll recall the board has $25 million in funds to award in grants and has opted to do that through at least two rounds of funding. That second round timing has not yet been announced. I will start out by saying that there was overwhelming interest in this grant program. If the interest in this means any, it certainly indicates that there's a lot of demand out there. The board received 31 grant applications requesting approximately $41 million in funding. And again, that's with a $12.5 million budget for this program. Additionally, there was approximately $31 million in associated loan applications that were received as well. So attached to this memo is a summary of staff scoring and ranking of the applications, and I will share that now. I'm not sure how well we can see that. Maybe I'll zoom in a little more. And I'll move up and down this list, but I guess I want to summarize by saying that, again, 31 applications requesting over $41 million in funds. Staff has ranked and scored these and has recommended the award of the full $12.5 million. I'll go through this full table, but I'll start out by just highlighting the ranking of the projects. The highest ranked project is project number, was the first ranked project. Chester Canal and Irrigation was the highest ranked project, and that was $29,725. The second highest ranked project was from Water District 63, and it was for monitoring system upgrades, and that was for $30,793. I should have said that the Chester was also for a diversion head gate. The third ranked project, there was a tie for third with several projects ranked third. Big Loss Dam Repair came in at third. Boise Project Board of Control, New York Canal Lining came in ranked third. Fremont Madison Irrigation District upgrades to diversion structures also tied for third. And then King Hill Irrigation District, pump station and closed conduit was tied for third. Ranked fourth was the Nampa Meridian Irrigation District, the Reidenball Canal Monitorization. And then ranked fifth was the Bannock Feeder Diversion Replacement. Enterprise Canal Company, converting the canal to a pipeline. And one of Northside Pumping Company's applications, they had two. This would be for the pump station canal abandonment. And then we did run out of funds and we're not able to fund fully the sixth rank project, but board is offering partial funds to the sixth rank project, or staff is recommending partial funds to the sixth rank project. And that would be Falls Irrigation District pump station rehab. They'd requested over $3 million, but there was $200,600 remaining that staff recommends offering to the sixth rank project, Falls Irrigation. So there were a number of ties scores in here, but at a high level, you know, out of 31 projects, staff is recommending the funding of 10 projects fully and a portion of the 11th project. That's a funding about one third of the applications. I would highlight that there was a evaluation team of three staff members, so that there wasn't just one person ranking these. We each ranked them and then averaged our scores. It was very tough. There were so many good projects, and it was interesting to see how they all shook out. And you know, at the end of the day, you wish we had more funding for some of these other projects. But with that, I would stand for any questions, Madam Chair. I would highlight here, I do need to explain a couple things. You'll notice there's some asterisks out here to the side. Dalton Gardens Irrigation District delivery improvements. That was ranked 14th, but that was the only project from Board District 1, which is in Northern Idaho. So staff is recommending that that project be funded because that is the only project from that district. Additionally, the Nampa Meridian Irrigation District Ridenball Canal Modernization, that was an application for $3,180,000. Staff is recommending that be partially funded at $1,820,000. And the reason here is that was the the lowest ranked project in district number two. And they had to fund that in a lower amount in order to stay within, to comply with the board district limits in the criteria. And just to reiterate that what that is there's four districts in the criteria, and the criteria says that no more than 50% of the total budget may be spent within a single board district. This limit may be waived if there are no competing funding demands. Because with the ranking, it looked like board district number one was going to have no projects funded. Staff is recommending that that one project be funded in order to balance the geographic distribution of those funds and to comply with the criteria associated with no more than 50% of the total budget within a single district. As you see here also, 100% of that, 50% went to district number two, is being allocated to number two, or is recommended to be allocated to number two, 24% to district number three, 26% to district four, and again, that 0.2% up north. And with that, Madam Chair, I would stand for any comments or questions.
Any questions from the committee members?
Madam Chair, this is Dean. I guess a question for Neely on the Big Lost Dam repair. Was that money going to be used in conjunction? I think, didn't they have some FEMA funds on that for that dam? Is that going to be used in conjunction with other funds, you know?
Yeah, I think Mr. Patton's going to answer that.
Yeah, Madam Chair, Dean. They had anticipated FEMA funds, and this would be the match for those federal funds coming through FEMA for the dam repair. There's a little bit of question right now about the status of those federal funds and when they might receive them, or maybe if they may receive them. So that's kind of that's a bit of a wait and see, I think, but we will... I think the right way to move forward is to allocate the funds from the water board, give them a certain amount of time in the contract, you know, to match those funds with the federal funds or other sources. And if they end up not getting the federal funds, then the board may have to reconsider what you do with the grant award.
Thank you. That's all. That's the only question I had.
Madam Chair, I see I need to mention one other thing. There were a few projects that were, applications were received that staff, the evaluation team determined were ineligible. I would just highlight those. That was the application from AFRD for the spillway. Staff determined that construction was already underway. So that was determined to be ineligible. The Boise Warm Springs project was determined not to meet the irrigation requirements in the criteria. The City of Salmon waterline replacement, that was both a municipal, it was mostly municipal. I think there was some irrigation in there, but staff determined that that would be ineligible. There was one from Gem Soil and Water Conservation District, staff determined ineligible. That was a pipeline for primarily one landowner. Then there was the Idaho Power Company spillway application. Staff determined that the Idaho Power didn't meet the eligibility requirements. And I believe that was all the ineligibles. I just forgot to just explain that in my initial report.
All right, so we are going out for a second round here in the next four months or so. Is that correct?
That is correct, Madam Chair.
So those that are not funded or were deemed to be ineligible should probably make contact with Neely. Is that appropriate, Neely?
Yes, I would encourage them to reach out to me and talk about how to improve that. And again, a lot of these were really good, so there may not be a lot of improvements. It's just with competing demands, there's so many good projects. But yeah, I would encourage folks to reach out to me and to stay tuned for the new application deadlines.
And then I think we still have, I see that we have a hand up with Travis Thompson. Go ahead, Travis.
Thanks, Madam Chair. Just a question on the ineligibility determination on construction being underway. Was that a decision made by the board? Was that in any of the criteria or guidelines? Just curious.
Brian or Neely, do you want to answer that?
Yeah, Madam Chair, I'll take a shot at that. That is staff's recommendation of whether they should be eligible or not. That would have to be, you know, a decision made by the board in accepting this list.
Okay, before we make a the Finance Committee will make a recommendation to the full board on whether or not we want to recommend the staff's recommended projects to go forward. But before we do that, I think there's still one other item we need to probably talk about. And that is if some of these projects that are only receiving partial funding, if they won't be able to do their project, or even if they're getting full funding and they're banking on a match and the match is not going to come through, do we want a time frame where they need to commit to these funds? I'm thinking 60 or 90 days, commit to the funds. If they can't do it, then they get distributed to the next eligible project. How does the committee feel about that?
Madam Chair, this is Dean. I think I'm okay, and I don't know, I mean, I guess decide what the time frame. You know, we can't allocate the funds and then have them sit there forever waiting, somebody's waiting for a match or something. So I think we need to put a time frame in. What that is, I don't know. Maybe some input from others, but I do agree with that part that we need to get the money moving. If somebody's, you know, not close to being able to get their project off the ground, we need to look for places we can.
Joanne, this is Jeff. The 60 to 90 days sounds good with the possible exception of the Big Loss Dam Repair Project. It sounds like that NEPA, that's something else. Anyway, the match money that they thought was there, that there was some confusion with the county and others about securing, I think that's a little bit in flux, but I believe that it's going to happen. And so we may want to provide some flexibility for that project and others for that matter, that can demonstrate that there is a high likelihood that the match is going to come through, that they don't have to demonstrate that match is there in 90 days. They have a little latitude. FEMA, that's it.
Okay. So are you saying that then we should not put a time frame on this when the grant fund should be accepted?
Well, I think everybody will probably accept the grant funds on day one, and maybe that's all we need to do is an acknowledgement that they intend to move forward with the project. But I think in addition to that, we probably need some sort of an assurance or some sort of a project plan that will indicate how the project's going to move forward and when the funds will need to be expended for the project. Something kind of along those lines.
Okay.
Madam Chair, this is Dean. Maybe if we have we put a time frame in there. I mean, I don't think we want to get in the business of funding a project that's only going to get half done and abandoned, but maybe have a process in there where people could file for extensions or something like that. Maybe, I don't know.
Right. Madam Chair, on the other funding process is usually we write in that the project has to be underway within a year. But if they run into some unexpected delays, they can ask us for an extension on that. And that's usually built in as a contract provision.
Okay. I see we have another hand up from the public. Mike Myers, go ahead, Mike.
Madam Chair, thank you. Mike Myers, Watermaster Water District 63. Just a quick comment. We will have our annual advisory committee meeting January, first week of January, and we cannot get approval for next year's budget, which our project is scheduled into, until then. So I thought I'd just throw that out there. It's a little more than the 90-day window.
Okay, that's good. And I see we have another hand up from Travis Thompson. Okay, Travis, go ahead. You're on mute if you're wanting to speak.
Thanks, Madam Chair. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Just one last question on projects deemed ineligible, at least for the American Falls Spillway project. Will that be scored at all? I mean, I guess the board will make a final decision on this. And what I'm hearing today is that it was recommended to not be funded based upon some criteria that staff had come up with. But I don't know if that's the final word. I'm just curious, will it even get a score to be considered?
Okay, I do want to point out that the criteria did go through a public review process, a comment period, and was adopted not only by the Finance Committee, but the full board. So staff evaluated the funding proposals based on the criteria that was adopted by the full board. But
curious, Neely, I heard the question, I heard Neely say that because construction was already underway, that was a disqualifying criteria for the grant application, but I didn't see that in any of the criteria or guidelines that were approved.
Madam Chair, Mr. Thompson, staff, at least in all of our grants that we administer, we have not traditionally considered projects eligible that have already begun or have been completed. It's essentially a cost recovery. So that's the way we've tended to view those. But again, I think if other staff or if the committee has a different perspective or the board, that's their decision.
At this time, I'm comfortable with staff's recommendation on the project being funded. We are going to have a second round, and I would encourage you to reapply in a second round. And we certainly will have some more discussion regarding that. At this time, is there a motion to move forward these projects, or would the committee prefer to reevaluate them?
Madam Chair, this is Jeff. Fremont Madison Irrigation District has one of the approved or proposed by staff to be approved projects. I'm probably going to abstain from voting on this recommendation and will not be making a motion.
All right. So Dean or Dale, would either one of you like to make a motion to bring these projects forward to the full board at the next board meeting next week? Or do you want to reevaluate them?
Madam Chair, I'd make a motion that we bring these before the board next week.
Is there a second?
These recommendations.
Dale, you're on mute. Would you like to second his motion?
I'll go ahead and second. Yes, I was muted.
Okay. So it's been moved and seconded to move forward the projects evaluated as staff as by staff to be for the proposed awarded funding of $12.5 million bring that forward to the full board at the next board meeting next week. Do any of the other board members have any concerns or questions about this?
Madam Chairman, this is Brian. I'm okay with these projects. I think the staff did a very good job of screening them and making the recommendations. I do have a concern on the next go around that, and let me just throw a hypothetical in here. We've limited each district to no more than half of the money, so that would have been 6 million something, but you might have two projects in a district that are very close. Say Napa and Meridian, one was 3 and one was 4 in that district, and so if the Boise project would have gone for 6 million, unless I'm not seeing something right, then they would have got 6 million being the first rank in that district, and Napa Meridian would have got 0. And I think the projects get done either way, you know, if they're getting substantial grant. I mean, this is free money. It's a really strong incentive to build the project. So I think we want to get as many projects done as we can with the state money. So I think we need some kind of a limit and not retroactive, not to this group. I'm fine with what recommending this to the board, but on the next go around, I just worry that, there's incentive to apply for the whole thing if you think you're going to get the highest ranking, and then everybody else, there's no more projects done. So that's just a concern. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay, so Pete, did you have anything you wanted to add before we vote on this? Pete, you're on mute. I don't know if you want to add anything or not. All right, well, let's just go forward and vote on this. The motion is to, and has been seconded, to move the projects deemed proposed awarded funding of $12.5 million to the full board at next week's board meeting. All in favor, say aye.
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 And all abstained.
This is Jeff. I'm abstaining.
Okay. And any opposed? All right. Okay. So $12.5 million. Hopefully we'll go out the door at the next board meeting. And also I want to thank everyone who requested loan funds, $31 million in loan funds. That's excellent as well. The interest rate won't change until October 1st. These loans, if they'll show up at our next board meeting, we'll probably get the interest rate from the last quarter, which would be hopefully a significant savings. Any other item? Brian, do we have anything else to cover?
No, I think that's it for today's finance agenda, Madam Chair.
All right, then I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
This is Jeff. I move we adjourn.
Second?
I'll second.
Thank you. We're adjourned.
Okay. Dean, I guess it's time to start the aquifer.